Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Pray, Lord, that you'll be in our midst now, Lord, that you'll speak through me, speak to me, and everyone else who listens to your word this morning, Lord. May it be your words, not mine, and may your Holy Spirit lead your word and give us listening ears. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was really encouraged when Ian shared his dream. I believe it was a dream from God, because it kind of echoes what I feel the message is this morning. You know, when you pray for a word in season, I believe God honours that. And it's really encouraging when it's backed up and confirmed by a brother or sister. And thanks, Ian, for sharing that. And we're going to just look at a famous passage of the Bible, which is normally shared at Sunday school, but I really feel it's appropriate to share in here. It's about a little man called Zacchaeus. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Now, often when we think about Zacchaeus, we just zone in on his height and just, you know, sing songs about him being in a tree, which are all good fun, but there's so many important messages in this short passage of the Bible, which are hopefully are appropriate today. You know, this story, which we're going to read in a minute, happened, it's true, it's real. And it's a great reminder of God's love, isn't it? It's a great reminder that he cares for each one of us. Those dots, he loves us, he wants to be our friend, and he wants to change our lives. And all things are possible through him. So if you've got to, turn to your word of God. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he is gone to be for guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the word of God. Amen. So we're just going to sort of pick sort of verse by verse and just sort of see what God's saying through here. So in verse 2, this is the sort of first account we hear about Zacchaeus in the Bible. So what do we learn about him? Well, yes, he was a short guy, but we learn that he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now, we may grumble about getting tax nowadays, you know, the tax bills come through this month, oh, I'm going to pay the tax man. You might grumble a little bit, but we know it's generally for the best, you know, to serve the upkeep of the roads and hospitals and education, etc. But I can't stress enough, tax collectors, in the times which we're talking about now, 2,000 years ago, they were the lowest of the lowest. They were the sinners of all sinners. They were hated by the fellow people. Absolutely hated. They were, you know, cast off. They are worse than prostitutes. They are just the worst of the worst of the worst. Now, Israel was in control by the Romans, and the Romans obviously wanted their tax money. So they got some Jewish people involved, and I believe Zacchaeus was a Jew, and they collected all the money. Now, it says that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, so he had a team of tax collectors underneath him. And these tax collectors were a bit sneaky. They gave money to the Romans, but they took money aside by false accusations. And they were absolutely hated, despised. Can't stress enough how despised this man would have been. And we read in verse 3, he sought to see who Jesus was. So he was curious. In the days, you know, they didn't have Twitter or Facebook or these sort of social medias, but people would have been gossiping about Jesus. They'd have gone like wildfires. Jesus was making his way around the region, healing people, preaching, teaching. people would have been talking about him, whether they followed him or hated him, would just, wow, who is this guy? Is he genuine? Is he a trickster? Is he a fraudster? Is he the real deal? Is he the Messiah? People would have been talking about him. And we read in the Bible, crowds followed him. And Zacchaeus, he may have had servants, he may have had people working for him, and they might have been talking about Jesus, and he may have been listening and thinking, oh, who is this guy? I don't know about him. So-and-so said that someone got healed over there. What's all this about? Someone said their life was changed because they met Jesus. What's all that about? So he was curious. He wanted to see for himself, and that might be the same for us today. You know, why is this person so happy to talk about Jesus? You know, why? What makes them so excited? Why? So he was so curious that he wanted to go and see him, but he couldn't because he was a short man. And there's a crowd. Now, sometimes when you read the little kiddies' Bibles and about the story of Zacchaeus, you see Zacchaeus in a tree and a few people around Jesus. There's a crowd. Now, it could have been thousands of people. When we read lots of accounts of Jesus and the multitude, there were thousands of people. In the previous account, when Jesus meets a guy and heals him, he was blind. You know, he heard a multitude of people walking past. You know, he would have heard people every day, but he noticed some difference. There was loads of people. So Zacchaeus was in a massive crowd, and he couldn't see. So he was so thirsty to know who Jesus was, he thought, hang on a minute, he's going down that road. I'm going to leg it down this path. There's a nice big tree up there. I'm going to find him. So he was up in his tree. Now, we haven't got on the screen, but if you Google sycamore tree Israel, you'll see a photograph of these amazing sycamore trees. They're big, they're twisty, they're big branches. Now, these are things that have been pretty big, impressive trees. And if he was a small guy, he would have been probably quite lost in it. So, here he is, in this, on this tree, amongst the crowd. Now, how do you think he felt? Now, Zacchaeus might be quite happy how he was. He might have thought, oh, I'm on my own, no one can see me, I'm on this tree. I can just see Jesus, no one's going to bother me. Or the reverse. He could have felt really lonely, isolated, seeing all these people around Jesus touching him, stuck up this tree. Felt lonely, a bit foolish. I'm not too sure how he felt, but that might be how we're feeling today. Anyway, we get to verse 5. Imagine the scene. There's loads of people. They're all clambering, asking him questions, trying to touch him. And Jesus came by to the place. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So, what Ian was saying before about this dot, Jesus cares for each and every one of us. He knew he had to go to Calvary to die on his cross. He had a mission. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I want a mission today, I just want to go and do it. You know, I don't want any distractions, but he took time out. He was God, but he was a human being. He must have been anxious, you know. But he saw this person up his tree. He knew he was probably desperate. He was curious. He was seeking him. He pointed him out. Now, that could be the same for a Christian today. You may have had a relationship with God. You may have enjoyed being a Christian. But through time, for circumstances, whatever reason, you've sort of distanced yourself away from God. Maybe he's asked you to do something, you haven't felt quite comfortable, you've moved away. Maybe through hurt, you've moved away, and eventually you're on this tree. Jesus called Zacchaeus, come. So despite this big crowd, he really cared for this one individual, this little man on the tree. Now, what was Zacchaeus' response? When Jesus says something to you, you may be a Christian, and Jesus says, go do, please go do. Or Jesus may be talking today, you're not a Christian. You may be saying, come child, come to me. What is your response? Now Zacchaeus could have thought, well, sorry Jesus, I'm on this tree, I'm a bit dirty now, I'll come back and, you know, my house is a tip, I'll need to go and tidy it up and come back next week, let me pray about it. You know, that's sometimes we use the response, let me pray about it. Oh, I'm a bit embarrassed. What people are going to say? This guy, all these people hate me, and now I'm going to get down from this tree, look a bit silly, I'm going to climb down, might fall off. What are they going to say? What was his response? So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What an amazing thing to do. That opportunity may have not happened ever again for Zacchaeus. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? We don't know whether God's going to come down. We don't know what's going to happen to our health. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Zacchaeus sees that opportunity. He came down. He put aside embarrassment. He put aside doubt. He didn't have a road map. God said, right, you're going to get down. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He didn't know all the answers. He just said, okay. He listened to Jesus. He was obedient. Now, what was the crowd's response? Verse 7. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Now, some of these people in the crowd were religious people. They were Pharisees, Sadducees, some so-called disciples of God, plus other people just there out of curiosity. But they all said, what's he doing? He's going to be with that tax collector. He's going to his house. What's he doing? How could Jesus do that? Now, what's our attitude sometimes to the lost? Do we pigeonhole people? If God says, I want you to go and tell people about me, I'll do it with her because I like her, do it with him because he's nice, do it with her, not too sure about them, not too sure. No, they've done some dodgy stuff, I'm not quite comfortable with them. Is that our attitude? If God says, go do, as Ian said, we launch connect groups, and we believe they're connect groups of impact, and impact, the T is telling others about Jesus. If Jesus tells you to go and tell someone about the good news, are you being selective, or are you saying, yes, I'm going to do it, Jesus? What is my heart? What is your heart? Now, this is the really exciting bit. Verse 8, radical change. This is supernatural change. You can read the best self-help books in the world, the best authors, how to stop doing this, how to stop doing that, change your life forever in 7 steps, 8 steps, 9 steps, 21 steps. By volume 2. These are all just man's words, and yeah, they might help for a day or so. But supernatural, radical change. This guy was a cheat. He probably loved money. You know, he was a wealthy man, and most people who are wealthy, generally, you see on TV or hear about, they love money, don't they? And they would never give it away unless they, you know, it's the next investment to come back. What was his response? I think this is later on when Zacchaeus had spent some time with Jesus, saw him as his heavenly father, saw him for who he was, had a radical change. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So if you went back the clock 12 hours ago, or 24 hours ago, here's Zacchaeus, he's quite interested in Jesus, hear a lot about him, but he's probably thinking about his next person he can rip off. He's got his nice house, probably, and his wealth. After spending time with Jesus, Jesus didn't prompt him to do it. He didn't say, he didn't give him a checklist to do. He felt just driven to say, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor. If anyone I've cheated, I'm going to give 4 times the money back. So he's probably gone from being a pretty rich man to pretty much left with nothing, if you think about it. 4 times he's cheated, he might have cheated lots of people, but it didn't bother him anymore now. You know, what are we holding on to? What sin is tainting us? What's holding us back? The good news is we don't have to do it in our own strength. God can do it. He can change us today. I'm just going to quickly read Galatians 5. Now, we don't physically have Jesus in person to take home, cook him a dinner, but praise God the Holy Spirit indwells in us. He wants to indwell in us if we call on his name. Before Galatians, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus is standing at the door not. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus wants to dwell in you. Galatians, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're under no law. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, which Zacchaeus would have had, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. I tell you before, I've told you, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So some of those things may have pricked you, oh, I'll do that. But praise God, we don't have to do it in our own strength. The Holy Spirit will radically change your life if you invite Jesus in your life. Zacchaeus, unprompted action. Verse 9 is such the cornerstone of this story of Luke 19. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because also he is also a son of Abraham." Before Zacchaeus met Jesus, he had his eternal future was pretty bleak. If he'd gone that day, we don't know, but making assumptions that he wouldn't have salvation. But because he met with the Lord, he responded to the Lord, stepped out in faith, wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. He met with Jesus, he realised he was a sinner, he repented. God said salvation, which means you don't need to worry about eternity, you've got it with me. Isn't that amazing? And the final point is, you may have loved ones in your family, really good friends, people you've been praying for. I wish they were a Christian. Why can't they be a Christian? All things are possible. If you just skip back a chapter, in Luke 18, Jesus counsels a rich young ruler. Luke 18, verse 18. "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but the one who that is God. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour your father and your mother.' And he said, 'I do all these things, I've kept them from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one more thing. Sell all that you have, distribute to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, 'How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' And those who heard it said, 'Well, who can be saved?' Verse 27. But he said, 'The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen.'" So, yeah, you know, probably no longer than a week before the Zacchaeus account, he met a rich man. And I believe Jesus was testing this guy's heart. He's just saying, "Well, give up all your money." And he didn't want to. His number one God in his life was his money, really. And people were saying, "Well, how can you get to heaven?" Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was a hated man, despised man, lowest of the low. And if he'd said to his disciples beforehand, "Well, could this guy become a Christian?" Well, probably not, is he? All things are possible. So I encourage you, please do not give up faith. It is not man who saves. You do not have to save your dear one who you're desperate to become a Christian. You do not have to save the friend you've been ministering to, witnessing to for years and years and years and think, "Why?" It's not you. If you think it's you, then you're going to have a fruitless years to come. It's the Holy Spirit. We're just planting seeds. We're just a spokesman. It's the Holy Spirit which changes. Do not give up hope. Pray, pray, pray. I believe God will honour that prayer. Look at Zacchaeus. He was the lowest of the low, but God longed for him so much. He said, come down from the tree. I want to come to your house. And Jesus wants to come and have a new house, a dwelling in your heart, dwelling in your spirit. Begin to let him. So, to wrap up, have you been watching Jesus from afar? Have you been on the tree looking down with curiosity, thinking, oh, what's going on? You may be even in church. You may be going to church week after week, meeting with Christians. It's a nice little club. You know, I like this Sunday morning business. But have you really got a relationship with God? Has your life changed radically? Where you can say, I know my Heavenly Father. He's my friend. You may have committed your life to God, but ever so slowly, over time, you've drifted. You're in the back of the crowd, and you're just watching Jesus from afar, thinking, oh, I wish I was like him or her. They have a great relationship with God. Why am I? Maybe it's because I'm no good. Maybe it's because I'm stuffed up. Maybe because they're extra special. They know the Bible better than me. Jesus doesn't want you to be stuck on the tree. He wants you to be back with him. He wants to be communing, eating with you, fellowshipping with you. Today could be the opportunity to just step out and say, sorry, God, please invite me back into your presence. Revelation, he's knocking on the door. Do you have a heart for the lost like Jesus? Do you say, oh, it's so-and-so's job, it's not my job, I'm not an evangelist? Have you missed opportunities where God's prompted you, go and speak to that person, and you haven't? It's time to make amends. And are you longing for that loved one? Thinking, I've ruled it out, I've finished, so I'm giving up now. That person's unsavable. Please do not give up hope. All things are possible through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And like that dot picture which Ian showed a minute ago, you know, we're all part of God's family. He's got plans for each one of us. He loves us dearly. In Psalm 139, it's one of my favourite verses of the Bible, verses 13, for you were formed in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and my soul knows very well. Luke 12, verse 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered, Jesus said. God made you, intimately made you. He knew you before you were even born. He wants to have that relationship with you. He's waiting. Are you? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love which you demonstrated. You went against the crowd. You opened your arms to Zacchaeus. You wanted to meet with him, fellowship with him. You didn't give him a shopping list of things to do. You just said, come down, I want to meet with you. I thank you, Lord, that same love applies to each one of us, Lord, here and listening. Lord, I just pray that anyone who doesn't know you and you've been knocking on the door, they may have been curiously watching. Pray, Lord, you'll soften their hearts, draw them closer to you. Step out in faith. Come and fellowship with your Heavenly Father who loves you. And if anyone may have wandered from the Father, wandered from the Good Shepherd, we thank you, you are the Good Shepherd. You care for that one sheep who may have drifted. You want to bring them back into your fold. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your heart for the sinner, the lost. I pray that each one of us will mirror your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.